Full sport commercial break, we never do.
Shut up, Simon. Welcome back, everybody, to Epic Courts. I'm one of your hosts, Phil, in a very bad mood. When this was recorded, Simon's team just beat Chelsea. Simon's first team beat Chelsea's reserve team, but I'm not bitter.
Oh, here we go again. The excuses have started already.
Oh, mate, oh. It's just Christmas time in Chelsea. Are giving wins out to everybody like presents. That's all.
Well,
but Christmas is over. This is January when this comes out. By then, Chelsea are amazing again. Anyway, guys, welcome back to the last of the episodes where we have a guest on and we're interviewing. This time we have Mr. Craig with us, or what do you call him? The Craig, Simon.
The Craig. Yeah, there's too many Craigs, so I had to separate.
Finally, we're going to talk Halloween Horror Nights, what he thought of it as well. But finally, we have someone else on here who did Hallow Scream at SeaWorld. Yeah. So we can actually have a proper chat about it. Because the last time we had Donna on, she forgot to tell us that she showed up to it, but it was rained off, so she left.
Yeah.
Great episode if you listen to that. Go and listen back to it. We have a good chat about roller coasters.
Yeah, that's literally all we did.
Right. But anyway, Simon, how are you, mate?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad.
Don't care.
Like you said, Newcastle won. I'm having a beverage. I'm having a beverage with a sticker from Halloween Horror Nights. And that's it.
I'm just drowning my sorrows with a tumbler from Universal Studios. There we go. Anyway, and let's get to say, Craig, mate, welcome.
Hello. How you doing? You okay?
Apart from football, I'm really good, actually.
Apart from football, the rest of life is fine.
When this episode's out, I really would have had my birthday. I'm off to Tenerife in a few days' time. So when this comes out, I've already been to Tenerife twice. Funny enough, weird as that is, because there's so many interviews we did. But so let's get to this. I'm just going to ask you a few normal questions before Simon gets into questions with you. Plain and simple, how many times have you been to a Halloween Horror Nights?
So I started going 26, and then I did 26, 27, 28, 29. Obviously, didn't get across until this year. So pretty much since 26, I've kind of been going every year where I can.
That's fantastic.
So you're newbie-ish to the event, really. You've not got the history behind you, but you've got the event. Yeah.
I've been to kind of Orlando so many times, and years ago, I used to go with my niece who was I suppose technically she could have gone, but she just didn't, wasn't feeling as if she wanted to go. And so I missed out on quite a few years where I'd like to have gone. It was just kind of me and her used to kind of go on holidays. And then she kind of got that bit older, so I've kind of go myself now, so I can manage to attend. So I've always kind of looked at the event and thought, yeah, that's a great year, I'd love to have gone. But as I say, I didn't get to go until 26.
Okay, now I'm going to really wind some up here. And where did you stay this year and how long for?
Well, Phil quite kindly let me stay at his hotel, Endless Summer Surfside.
That wasn't set up. My hotel. Yes. And what I've got to say about Craig was obviously in the group photo and he showed up with plenty of time to spare.
I still turned up on time.
Yeah, Craig,
there is a caveat to that.
You turned up, so I'll give you kind of credit for turning up.
He said between 8 and 9, I turned up at 5 to 9.
In all fairness, we did tell you earlier in the morning there, but we're not going to have that argument.
We'll have a caveat with that one, though, because the left of me or right of me, depending on where he is on the screen, didn't even tell me that Craig had turned up to that. Until after we'd left.
Well, I think Craig was in such awe of me, I didn't want to let him down talking to you.
He's actually stood about two people over from me in the photo and I didn't even know it was Craig until we actually met Halloween Horror Nights because of some idiot that decided not to tell me.
Well, in all fairness...
All I can do, Craig, is apologise for the idiot side of Phil.
I was a busy man, wasn't I? I was walking around talking to everybody. Everyone who turned up on time.
He just turned up, put his camera down, walked away. That's all he did.
He really wasn't like that. It was quite enjoyable, actually. And I'm planning to do it again next year, wherever I'm staying, Cabana Bay or Surfside, but it will still be outside the ends of someone's hotels. So how many nights was you there for, though?
Well, technically 15 nights, but obviously like Hurricane Ian kind of had a bit of a, it kind of petered out the holiday near the end. So yeah, 15 nights, but obviously lost a few days because of Hurricane Ian.
I was there for 21 and a lot. 21, the last four I was ill, so it was, I felt like 4 days were stolen from me. I wouldn't have cared about the hurricane because I would have just gone straight downstairs and joined in with everyone, but I could barely leave my bed.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was the first time to stay on site, so kind of great to kind of have all the amenities. And I think kind of when you have something like that, where you have to stay in the hotel, I think that's kind of where it comes into its own in terms of it's got everything you need. And obviously serve the bar, you know, as well, so, which was good. So, yeah, I think we did a great job. Enjoyed the course.
Have you stayed on site for the first time? Has that changed your opinion of going staying on site all time now, or will you still stay off site?
No, I'll stay on site now. You know, it's just a case of like choosing the hotels.
Will you try dockside next time?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, I probably would do surfside again, but if not, I think I would be more inclined for kind of Aventura or Cabana Bay.
Aventura is a lot better for adults. For me, I obviously have kids and that come with me on holiday, so it's easier for me to go to Cabana. I prefer Cabana Bay. I just think there's so much more you can do in Cabana Bay than literally any Universal hotel.
Yeah.
So
I'll never disagree with that. Like I said, I always say Aventura is for couples and people just who don't want to have too many kids around, because there is kids, but there's not as many.
Yeah.
It's a bit smaller, a bit more.
Well, the thing about
kind of surfside, with, you know, the way I kind of planned my holiday, the last bit of my holiday was going to be mainly around, like, you know, using the facilities at surfside. I mean, I never even got in the pool because, you know, I was doing sort of Disney as well as Universal, so it was pretty much kind of back to back, you know, each day. So, you know, the end of my holiday, you know, I'd finished with Disney and I was just going to kind of be concentrating on Universal and, you know, spending a bit more time at the hotel. So I kind of feel that that's a wee bit, you know, almost unfinished business. Great. A wee bit.
So you got a Disney ticket. Was it a 14-day Disney ticket?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you use the 14 days up?
No, I mean,
so come back next September, mate.
This is the thing, because, you know, I'd done as much Disney as I wanted to do. But I'd been like 6 days, but then, you know, obviously popped up in the app, I've still got 8 days to use by kind of, you know, end of September. So, because I was potentially looking to change and start to come in October rather than September, and potentially not going to do Disney at all next time. But, you know, obviously this is a wee bit of a bonus getting the extra days back.
We were the same, but the two reasons were we looked at the prices in October and it was more expensive. And then once the Disney, when Simon said, have you checked your Disney ticket? And I saw it, I went, yeah, we're going back to September. Obviously, I was meant to be the last 2 weeks of September. Then I clocked the last Saturday thing of September. Unfortunately, the Saturday falls the last day of September and Sunday falls the 1st of October. So you can't get the rush of fear at the end of September. So I thought, right, we're changing it again. So I think I'm going around the 5th now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got my annual pass for the first time as well when it was across.
Which one did you get?
The preferred pass. And that's due to kind of run out kind of, I think it's the 16th or 17th. Pretty much the day that we had the group photo was the sort of day I got my preferred pass. So I'm kind of, you know, I mean, I probably end up going, I've never done, and I suppose it's kind of, it's there's positives and negatives, but I've never sort of done the kind of first night at HHN. I've always kind of tended to go back kind of mid-September to end of September. So I'm kind of, because of the Disney, because of the annual pass, because I'm kind of thinking, do you want to kind of look at October? Also thinking about, you know, do you want to try Hollywood for it? You know, I've never been to kind of HHN at Hollywood. Do you want to try that? So kind of thinking, you know, kind of next year, it probably will be kind of from sort of start to kind of, you know, I mean, I think one other thing I kind of found out as well, when you're doing so much, like 14 days isn't enough. So, I mean, I think it'd be looking at 21. Yeah, I think it'd be looking at 21.
There is never enough.
Yeah.
It's especially when there's events going on. If it's just like the normal theme parks, like normal, I would always say 21's enough. But when you've got Halloween Horror Nights, Hello Scream, Mickey's Not So Scary, if you feel like doing it, there are so many more things to do. People don't realise how tiring it gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing I was thinking about moving it as well, and, you know, I think we spoke about it, you know, when we bumped into each other at the park, you know, the HHN event at Universal Studios. Obviously, the first kind of couple of weeks, I think, you know, it wasn't showing its best, some of the houses. So we obviously kind of upped some of the houses.
What I've seen, they didn't ever show their best.
No. Yeah, I think some of the houses were quite improved. Yeah, a couple of the houses definitely.
I'll tell you what then, as we are getting into Halloween Horror Nights, let's move across to this properly now. And for any questions from Simon, what pass did you have for Halloween Horror Nights?
The Rush of Fear with Express. That's the ticket I had in 2019. So I think having had Express, I don't think again, you know, it's similar to, you know, staying on site. I think now that I've had it, you know, now had it a couple of times, and we'd always kind of, and I know kind of, I think, you know, you would probably think the same given the crowds and stuff as well. You know, it definitely gives you the kind of options, you know, to kind of, you know, go in a bit later, especially if you've been in a park all day, going a wee bit later and still get around most of the houses that you want to get around. So Rush of Fear and Express is kind of a ticket I went with, and it's a good ticket. I mean, I didn't quite appreciate until I think it was like kind of on the podcast when, you know, kind of given the number of dates for Rush of Fear, I think my last, you know, even if it was on the Wednesday where we were kind of confined to the hotels, I think I couldn't have gone because my ticket had expired by then, you know, the Rush of Fear ticket. So kind of, you know, I probably would spend a bit more time looking at dates next time to see if kind of, you know, the Frequent Fear or Frequent Fear Plus with Express is a better option. But Rush of Fear is still a good ticket. I mean, I still managed to get 8 times into the event with Rush of Fear. So it was good.
Yeah, well, I have a, like we always say, we always recommend Rush of Fear for the first part of the event. If you're going in October, Rush of Fear, Frequent Fear or Frequent Fear Plus. But Rush of Fear, I always recommend because I think we're going to have to start looking at it as in it's going to be the first 4 weekends of Halloween Horror Nights. Because I think some weekends it's going to be 5. Yeah. So I think it's going to be like maybe the first 4 weeks of the event from now on. So
I think because it starts so early now, isn't it? Your first 4 weekends.
Dates are what I think they are, I think Friday is the 1st of September. I think 1st of September is a Friday next year. So you're looking probably the first weekend, 7th. So you look at 1st, 8th, 15th. Maybe only going to the 23rd, the 24th.
Yeah,
of September.
You're correct. Yeah, Friday the 1st of September, so that's when they're going to start the event.
So yeah. I don't think the event is going to. It's not even going to take that last weekend in September. I think it's only going to go up to like the 23rd, 24th. So
I think the way
Sunday,
the way my sort of tickets and pass kind of works, I think I'll probably look to get there for the 1st and then just kind of have the 3 weeks from there kind of thing.
Well,
I'm going to fly out on the 9th.
Yeah, I will mention to you about your annual pass. If when it's due to expire, you have 30 days before and 30 days after it expires to extend it. So you can wait until the 16th of September if that's when it expires, and it just upgrade it there all through the email we'll send you. Okay. And you do get a 25% discount on the renewal price.
So it's
worth thinking about.
Yeah.
If you don't want Volcano Bay anymore, you can take that off the pass.
Yeah,
I don't have Volcano. I just went for the 2 park.
All my family, we're all on preferred, and I've said for next year, I'm going to go down to seasonal because we don't all need it. What is the point?
Well, if you're doing the annual pass appreciation days and you get a discount with your seasonal pass,
you can always do it.
But if you want the perks, you want the parking, and you need the discount, the preferred path.
That's the whole point. Well. The reason we went preferred the first time was it was only meant to be me in the family. And then obviously what happened with the pandemic and that, we got back in December, there was block off dates. So the other two had to go for preferred as well. Mm-hmm. So they didn't get the block out dates. But next year we're going to be September. And I'm like, there's no block out dates. I'm just going to go back down to seasonal. Not a fan of the water parks anymore. So I'm probably going to get rid of the Volcano Bay and take a big chunk off my bill.
Yeah. So, shall we move over to Halloween Horror Nights then?
We are on Halloween Horror Nights.
No, talk about the event. We're all about park tickets here. You know what I mean? So, let me pop this up to jog our memories of all the bits for Halloween Horror Nights. Can everybody see that fantastic map from HH Encrypt?
I can read it better than they can read the SeaWorld map anyway, so it's an advantage.
Well, I noticed this map, he's got all the shopping on it, he's got all the dining locations. So it's quite a good little map he's done. for this one. So
yeah, I can see he's also done like Kafalabamba and pointing out it's only RIP tours only. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So HHN Crypt, you do a fantastic job. Keep the good work, and we will be using you from now on. So should we just do the top three and worst house?
So he's top three in his worst house. Yeah, I got that. And then his favourite scare zone and his least favourite.
Yeah, go on then. So let's start with a negative, because we always start with negative stuff, don't we?
Negative.
Okay. Negative. Your worst house for Halloween Horror Nights this year. Or your worst favourite, least favourite, whichever way you want to word it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's start with a negative. So the two that I had like at the bottom, and the reason like I've kind of put this one at the bottom is because I think I had a lot more potential and they kind of just didn't quite hit the mark. Whereas the one just above it, I think, you know, they were always kind of up against it a wee bit. So I've got Spirits of the Coven at number 10. And number 9, I've got Hell Block Horror. So, you know, it's kind of
similar to the last every single person we've had on recently.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I suppose, you know, this is where I would say we did get better, but kind of these were two of the houses went the very first night I arrived, so that would have been the sort of 15th, and I was a wee bit disappointed, and I think I spoke to kind of you guys when I kind of, you know, kind of met you that night. To me, it was just the houses were too bright, so you were kind of seeing the kind of masks, but you were kind of seeing the kind of neck sort of flapping and stuff. It was a wee, you know, it was just I mean, it wasn't quite depths of fear level, but it was kind of not far off. So yeah, and I kind of was thinking, God, what's happened, you know, I just could not, you know, because it was kind of obvious, and this is, I'm not wanting to sound really critical because it's still a fantastic event, but
say what you want. When you hear episodes with me coming out, you're going to sound mild.
I mean, I just felt like it was obvious to me. So I thought maybe people that have had more experience of setting up the events would have kind of noticed it themselves without. I mean, I don't know if kind of what you guys had, but I mean, every time I went to an event, I was getting an email, you know, looking for feedback. Every single time I went, I was getting an email. You know, I didn't get it in 2019. I got one at the end of the event, but not one kind of, you know, practically every day. So it was almost as if we're kind of trying to find kind of what do we need to adjust, which it was, you know, to me, it was just like, you know, the masks would have worked really, you know, fine the way they were. We just needed to kind of drop the sort of the light a wee bit and put a bit more fog in, just so you kind of didn't see the, you know, the join, if you like. So that, and as I say, you know, both were, you know, I kind of had a bit of a soft spot for Hellblock Horror just because it was a good, you know, a good quick entry into the park, just going that kind of, you know, the hotel guest line, just getting you into the queue for Hellblock Horror. So it was quite, you know, and as I say, we're up against it because that was the house that kept changing on the map.
Just think about this. Now, that was meant to be an IP, wasn't it, that house, what fell through in the last minute?
Yeah, Evil Dead.
Now, for hotel guest, how cool would that have been? If it was the actual IP getting in early and without doing the proper queues and doing that perk is worth it. So Universal, if you've got an IP next year, keep it there because that's a good idea. But for an original, what wasn't great, it just didn't feel like worth it because I could have gone through the normal way and still got in within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's move on to your top three. So your third best house that you thought for the event.
Yeah, so this one was a bit of a kind of surprise for me because, you know, I did a wee hype list before I went and it was kind of, you know, bottom of the hype list. But kind of my third top was Horrors of Bloomhouse. I suppose kind of, I kind of approached the event as more or less, apart from Halloween, more or less, you know, all originals. Because I've not seen any of either the two Bloomhouse films. At that point, I hadn't seen the weekend videos before I did watch all the music videos once before I went. Universe is obviously kind of a, you know, it's an original story based on the classic monsters. But, you know, Halloween, to me, was the only real true kind of IP. So, and that's kind of one of my favourite films anyway. So I kind of knew that I would like it, you know, whether it, you know, even if it didn't do a great house, I would still like it because I love the film. So I kind of used it as like a...
Which part, though, did you like of...
The Black Phone. Well, the Blumhouse Black Phone. I mean, you know, Black Phone for me was a 9 out of 10. Freaky was like a 7 out of 10. You know, but still kind of still solid. But you know, I mean, I love the. I mean, I prefer, you know, and it's probably a bit controversial because I think most people have it right, the wrong, the other. I was going to say the wrong way around, but the other way around. But most people prefer, I think, originals to IPs. But I always prefer the IPs just because I love movies and I love going through the scenes from the film, and that was the kind of what kind of really kind of sold HHN on me. It was when I was seeing the kind of, you know, the each year, and I was seeing the houses and the horror films, because I've always watched horror films from, you know, when I was at school, and probably shouldn't have been watching them, to be fair. But
you shouldn't be watching them in school.
Yeah. I think a lot of us shouldn't have been watching films then.
No.
But a little thing about Black Phone. Mm-hmm. This is obviously the event is finished now. Don't know if you knew about this, Phil. The last night, for the last 20 minutes, the grabber that was on the chair was actually an actor.
I think they didn't have enough scare actors this year, and that's the reason they didn't use a real one. Otherwise, I think
it was always planned to be a dummy, and they just changed it up for the very, very last runs. They put an actual scare actor in that, and supposedly he got people really, really bad.
I think
people are expecting it to be a dummy, and someone actually steps up and scares.
By the way, can I just say that dummy is one of the best dummies I've ever seen. Mm. It's so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Florida guy, look at one of his pictures of behind the scenes. He's got a cracking picture of that of the grab on that dummy. It looks really, really good. So, number two.
So number two, Halloween. So that's my sort of second favorite.
You've actually done the other Halloweens, then, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done. So I did the sort of Hell Comes to Haddonfield one, and I did the Halloween 4 one. You know, I think was that 2018 or 2019? I can't quite remember. But I've done like 2018. So I've done like two previously, and I was kind of happy. I mean, I've not seen Halloween Ends, but I've seen the Halloween remake and Halloween Kills, and I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. You know. My timeline is Halloween 2, Halloween H2O, you know, and I quite like Jamie Lee Curtis having kind of, you know, managed to kind of, you know, take down a job as a school teacher, and, you know, and I would have just picked up from there rather than kind of done a total remake again and given her a different kind of personality. So I'm not a massive fan, so I was quite happy when they did the original again.
Okay.
I liked a bit. You got the bit of the start, and then you got the kind of, you know, the sort of title scene, and then you were kind of, you know, into the, you know, past the house.
I think we have mentioned this before, but when you went into Halloween, you started as if you was in the film rather than being into the house. You was walking into the child side of Michael. So
yeah, and I thought it was really good. You know, seeing the kind of, you know, the house. I think all the kind of main scenes were there. We had all the kind of angles just right, you know. So it was almost as if you were in the film yourself.
You didn't get lost in the outside scene, like I heard off of another podcast.
No.
So when they turned left, they turned right when they should have turned left. You know, when going through the outdoor scene, into a boo hole, and the scare actor said, "No, I mean, go that way."
Yeah. Was that kind of a mirror scene when you see kind of Michael come in and then, he's right beside you kind of thing. Oh. Yeah. No, I mean, I thought it was really good. And it was kind of, it's probably the house I went to every single night. I went, so it was kind of there 8 times. I always made sure I did that house.
Sounds very much like Joe, that. I think Joe did the same. So that was your number two.
Mm.
Do we ask what your number one is?
Well, I suppose I'll give you my third bottom one. leave you in suspense with a top one. So yeah, so I had I had the Fiesta de Chupacabras kind of third.
Did you say that again, bottom. Please?
Fiesta de Chupacabras.
it's not an actual word that with a Scottish accent can actually get away with, really, can they?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so,
as difficult as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a good idea, I think. But I thought it was going to be more like a festival rather than just kind of going through this kind of, you know, the kind of wee streets and things, you know. It was really well. I mean, that's the thing. All houses were really well done. And I suppose that kind of confused me a wee bit as well, because, you know, it was obviously quite strange, you know, in terms of the kind of run up, you know, the announcements were strange, kind of how they weren't spaced out. And, you know, even with, you know, the majority being originals, I kind of expected there to be announcements. But they've obviously spent a lot of time doing the houses because they were all kind of great in terms of the design and the work they put into them. So I just, you know, it was just a couple odd bits and pieces. And then, and then obviously, like, you know, first kind of few nights as well, there was no map available. It was all kind of, you know, and I spoke to somebody and it was paperless, and then maps appeared. So it was like, you know, it felt a wee bit like either some of the team were new or were short staffed in different parts of the kind of company.
There's definitely a new team involved in this one, and they're trying to get the feet into things, and they fell flat on a few things, but they came through eventually.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's still kind of a great designed house, Fiesta de Chupacabras, but it just felt a wee bit. To me, just a wee bit, you know, I was looking for something different than we gave. So so that's my kind of third bottom.
So go on then.
Top.
So my favourite one was the weekend house.
Choice.
I like the songs that I know, and I know, again, a bit controversial because I know this is kind of, you know, because it's not from the After Hours album, you know, there's some black marks against it, but I mean, there's songs from the kind of, you know, the Don FM album I hadn't heard before, but, you know, that were in the house, you know, and in the queue line. I mean, I think it was great atmosphere in the queue as well. You know, it was like a queue. I didn't mind actually, you know, spending time in the queue, just because everybody, you know, especially if you kind of went later, you know, in the evening and stuff, everybody kind of was singing along to the songs and stuff. It was just kind of bouncing before you even got in the house. But I had quite a few really good runs through the house, you know, where I kind of got lots of the kind of effects, the scares. I mean, there was the great scare when it was somebody sort of dressed up as the kind of wallpaper kind of man kind of and scared you. So and then there was the sort of the kind of you know, the strobe effects and the, you know, the mirrors and stuff. So I just thought there was just lots thrown into that house,
It was the main IP of the year, so you threw everything they possibly could at it. And for a musical artist, it worked. Like people say,
before we go any further, nice to see. I do not want a musical artist every year. That's because
no, not every year, but it's nice to see what they've done.
Two or three people can work, but I don't want one every year. I'd rather have a horror director design a house, for example, off their own head. I don't like that.
It's going to be interesting because I think they have kind of come across a bit of a formula, and I think like Chucky is like the Halloween of this year is Chucky. We've kind of gone for a newer kind of classic monster, and there will be a universal classic monster house, and, you know, so potentially there might be a music.
It's got to be the thing this year, hasn't it? If it's going to be,
it would be nice to do the thing. They've done the thing, the simulation, which was the second one, and it just got called.
Yeah,
the thing too, or whatever they called it, because everyone thought it was because it was advertised as a thing, and it wasn't. It was the newer version, which was a prequel to the first one.
I haven't actually seen the newer one, but I've watched the like original so many times.
If you watch the original, then you watch that one back, you can see where it starts and ends.
If they want to save money, though, The Invisible Man would be a fantastic house.
They did die in Hollywood, and it was crap.
Yeah, but Hollywood generally, I'm stopping. before I upset the Hollywood fans.
I think, you know, they've got like there's an obvious one that, you know, they've already sort of tested the feedback on, you know, and it's Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. I mean, I think, you know, that
we all want that house, but we'll have to wait and see. I think if you got the thing.
Halloween 3 and Chucky next season, that already surpasses this year, it destroys this year and it's over.
Yeah, I don't think you would. I think you know the thing in Halloween 3 are kind of in that kind of same bracket. I don't think you would get both, but I think you'd get either or, but it likely will be Evil Dead because the new one comes out.
You say either or, but we had Halloween this year and we had Universal Monsters, so it is possible.
Yeah, but I think you will get a Universal Monsters and a Chucky. I think Universal Monsters is locked. It's just kind of what combination to do with, you know. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I think we're always going to have one now. It's just kind of what combination to put together.
Right. Do we want to quickly get to your scare zones, and then we're going to move over to Hallow Scream? So what was your least favourite scare zone?
I made some notes and did a bit of homework.
More than what we do.
So my least favourite scare zone was Conjure the Dark.
Oh, I like that.
No, I don't want to be kind of too critical, but I just find the kind of what we were trying to do was quite boring to me. It's kind of, I never felt I wanted to stay around and see what the conclusion was of the kind of, you know, the show. Just kind of, yep, I've seen a bit of that, I'll move on. I just, you know, I'm comparing a lot to kind of, you know, 2019 and kind of the Rob Zombie kind of.
Do not compare 31 to 29.
Yeah.
Because 29 for recent, we'll say the last 5 years of Halloween's was the pinnacle. It's everything just hit.
I kind of prefer 28 to 29, but 29 is very,
28 was fantastic,
very, very good
as well.
But yeah, I mean, I just find, like, you know, that kind of Rob Zombie zone, I would kind of sit and stand and watch kind of feel each time I went through. You know, whereas this one, I was kind of, yeah, I've seen a bit of that, I'll kind of move on. So yeah, so I kind of got that as kind of bottom.
So what was your favourite?
So the Graveyard Undressed was kind of the favourite.
Could you imagine not going through that one?
I did go through it once. Maybe twice.
I think kind of the ones around that side of the park, I don't normally spend much time in either, because usually, like, you've done all the houses and you're just on your way out kind of thing. So
I always feel like they're really good ones around there.
Yeah.
I think because they are hidden away, so many people miss out on them.
I just don't know why they don't make that one the kind of selfie area and, like, free up the other park. Because you're coming in kind of through the first scare zone. Yes, selfie area, that's the kind of bingo list. That's TikTok.
I think the selfie area should be where Shrek and that is, because it's a little bottleneck area. It's where Shrek was, I should say, really Despicable Me now, wherever it's going to be. Our Minions. It should be there. So everyone first comes in, go straight on if they want to, get their selfies with the characters and get on with it.
Yeah, I think that was the thing this year, because, you know, the first kind of zone, you know, the, what's it called, Horrors of Halloween, the Pumpkin Lord and the Pumpkins, was really kind of nice, pretty kind of zone. You're kind of coming through that, you're taking lots of pictures, but then you were kind of right into another kind of selfie zone, you know, in Sweet Revenge, because we put up so many props there that we kind of really kind of encouraged loads of photographs, you know, because they had all the kind of, you know, the... you know, the kind of scene where you can get your picture taken, was it a field or something like that? You could get your
with the
picture.
Guy with his head ripped off.
And then there was, like, the, you know, the kind of, you know, the jars and stuff, and then there was, like, the, you know, the, you know, the jury kind of bit. There were so many bits where people were going around taking pictures, so the kind of, you know, there's always people taking lots of pictures there, but it just kind of made lots of opportunities for that as well.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to go to a quick ad break, and after the ad break, everybody, we're going to ask him his overall feelings of Halloween Horror Nights, his score out of 10, and then we're going to move over to SeaWorld's Hallow Scream. So see you in a second.
Welcome to Epic Haunts. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. You can also follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Epic Haunts. Also follow Phil and Simon on YouTube, Phil, Epic Phil, Simon at Simon and Julie. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back by that very professional ad break that I made. Okay, so
if they put one in.
if I remember to put it in, I have made it, but remember to put it in there. So let's get to it. Your overall thoughts of Halloween Horror Nights 31. I need to say 32 then, because I'm getting used to saying that now.
So I mean, it's still a great event, as I say. It's just like some things just didn't quite hit the mark. And I mean, having heard, you know, if it is a new team, it will take a bit of time, I suppose, just to, you know, to kind of to get back up to kind of where it was. So I mean, I've kind of probably give it about an 8 out of 10. I mean, I think the shows as well, I suppose, just to kind of touch on the shows. I did like the Nightmare Fuel welfare in terms of, you know, the atmosphere. It's not really the type of show I would normally kind of go and see. I kind of went to see it a couple of times. we did a really good job in terms of building up the atmosphere inside, and it was kind of a solid show. Bit disappointed with the Ghoulish show. Again, I felt it was good, and I mean, I think they executed what they planned the show to be, but I just expected kind of halfway to basically be another Marathon of Mayhem and start to see
that's unfortunately the issue. We're going to compare it to Marathon of Mayhem every time, and it's just going to get fall down. So we have to start lowering our expectations when in bouncing shows, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think I thought we would use the IPs we had a bit more. So Universal Monsters, the Halloween, the Blumhouse ones, I thought we would have incorporated them somehow. But I mean, it's still good in terms of what they did. I went a couple of times, but I think it was fine. It just wasn't kind of again, didn't blow me away. But I think still kind of good. A good solid kind of show. So yeah, I'm kind of thinking around 8 out of 10 for the whole overall event.
Fair enough. Right, let's then move over to SeaWorld's second year of doing it, Hallo Scream. So Simon, I'm going to let you take full control here, because I've literally forgotten my stuff of it. I will remember to let you share as well, mate.
I was trying to do it politely and message you quietly. So here we go. We're moving over to Howl or Scream. Quickly, did you get everything done? This is a quick overview.
I got all the houses done. Right. I did the Monster Stomp show. I kind of walked past a couple of other shows. there was one I couldn't find at all. I think by that time it was a bit I've done enough. Let's get out of here kind of scenario.
I agree. It was a bit of all over the place. It was hard if you're not a local from the area been last year to find where stuff was. That was the biggest problem this year.
I think I walked past one of the houses, must have walked past 2 or 3 times, before I actually saw it. If you missed the sign, pointing you in that direction, we're way off in another, somewhere else, And it was so dark as well, I just couldn't find the bearings. But I did manage to kind of do all the houses. So, I mean, that was the main thing. I didn't get on any of the rides. I mean, I didn't have a ticket for SeaWorld. So I had planned to do the rides,
That's really interesting. I've just seen on the screen, download the event map. Simon, if I'm going next year, I'm downloading that map.
Yeah. But I've just noticed this video is actually, that's playing at the moment. There's no sound. I've kept the sound off, but it's actually showing you where each individual house is on the map with the actual video. It never showed that last time we were on this thing. So Howl Scream, do this before the event.
And just so do maps.
Do the map. We'll actually do what it's doing on there. Anyway, let's move on to the houses. So out of the 5 houses that are on the screen now, do you remember them all? Which one do you remember the best as your favourite one then?
So I mean, I remember the Dead Vines one, and that was that was kind of solid enough. Don't remember a lot about the Blood Beckoning or even the Captain's Revenge was one I struggled to find. So that's what I remember from it, but I don't remember a lot from the inside of it. The first one I went into was Break the Ice, I suppose that was the one, because I'd heard that was kind of one of the better ones from last year. And it was, to me, it was like a sort of a version of the thing. So I kind of expected, that to be my kind of favourite one. I suppose the thing is, big kind of space that we've got, I like the bit, that you're going inside and outside in different points of the houses. So I like all that part of it. I like the fact that the scare actors that aren't just kind of miming to kind of a recorded kind of track, they're actually speaking, they're actually kind of, actually kind of trying to have a bit of an interaction going, especially in the queue. You've got scare actors in the queue that are coming up and in character sort of, talking to you. So I like that, these aspects. I like the fact that there is it felt to me, more of a mixture of kind of ages in terms of scare actors. So you had older people, as scare actors, and kind of, your typical. So I liked kind of, that made it a bit more real. but unfortunately there just wasn't enough of them in the house. We're kind of going from like the, you know, start of the corridor to the end, expecting things, you know, and all these kind of cargo boxes and things, but nobody actually coming out from a lot of them, behind a lot of them. And I suppose the thing as well, I've done High Low Scream once at Tampa Bay Busch Gardens, and that's 2019. That's the only other time I've ever done it. And I think that ticket worked better because I had the front of line ticket, you know, just one night, but front of line. But I found like the pulsing was a good idea. You know, the queues.
Well, that actually was going to be my next question. What do you think about the pulsing?
It was a good idea, but, you know, I went on my own to, you know, to the event. So I was kind of, you know, I suppose I was...
That's interesting. So did you pulse with other people or did you go to the house on your own?
No, I was pulsed with other people.
If you're going to pulse groups, pulse people on their own as well.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, and again, this is going to sound like, you know, not such a good comment, but I kind of felt I did the work of kind of standing in the queue to get to the front of the queue, but then I got added in with the group anyway. I'd been as well been a single line and just been added into the first group, you know, rather than waiting all that time. Because sometimes, you know, I don't know I think we probably were waiting until the group exited before we brought another group in because near enough it.
We mentioned in our review, there was an issue with the pulsing in one of the houses. And there was the variations at the time were inconsistent.
Yeah.
And for the amount of people who was in the queue, we should have only been in 15, 20 minutes, but we were there for 45 to 50. Because they were pulsing three people, then they were pulsing four, then they were doing twos, then they were doing threes. Then it took a manager to come back in and come round to the staff and say, look, we need to start speeding this up. This queue's getting too big.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, you've been on your own. It does give a bit of a different aspect of what it's like going to an event on your own.
I can see where it would work really well because, you know, a couple of times when I was at the sort of, you know, obviously kind of added into a group, so I was kind of last person.
Yeah.
And you would turn round and the scare actor was following you through the house.
Yeah.
You know, so that bit worked really well in terms of pulsing because, you know, you got that kind of more kind of one-to-one kind of, you know, kind of scare. Mm. But, you know, the queues were just so slow in terms of moving. So, and I had the multi-night ticket. So, you know, and I think probably, I mean, I would still go back. I mean, you know, it is, you know, early, very early days for, you know, for you know, the event at SeaWorld. So I would definitely go back. But I think I would just do the single night with the front of the line next time. And then hopefully if in front of the line, then they would just get added into the first group, you know, rather than having to wait. So that one was kind of, you know, probably that was one of the more memorable was Beneath the Ice. But the one I suppose that I liked the best was the Sirens of the Seas one.
Okay.
That was kind of the sort of the kind of cruise ship type feel. And that one, there was plenty of scare actors. And, you know, because it was more enclosed as well, there was a good kind of bit of, you know, interaction kind of going on. You know, there was a bit of kind of back and forth and stuff. So I would say that was kind of, that's the one that worked best. That would have been, would be my favourite in terms of the houses.
Okay, so we've finally got to the end of your favourite one.
Yeah.
Let's go to the elephant in the room, or, well, it might be if you're... depending on what you say in a minute.
Actually, I'll be interested in this. I know what he's going to get to.
Let us tell us about Monster Stomp Slasher Alley. It was your honest thought.
Before you go any further, I'm going to mute myself so I can't butt in here.
Well, to be honest, I actually liked the show because I had pretty much a whole row to myself, so I was able to kind of stretch out. And it was air conditioned as well, so it was really nice from that point of view as well. So again, not my kind of cup of tea, not type of show we'd normally watch. And I was a bit, I suppose I was a wee bit confused on purpose. I never watched any of the last year's event at all because I kind of anticipated, you know, the Busch Gardens one, a lot of the houses would be kind of repeated. So I thought, well, I'd rather just not watch them at all and then just experience them firsthand. When I went to sort of the Busch Gardens ones, they had obviously the Fiends show on, you know, the kind of more kind of comic kind of parody type sort of singing, dancing kind of show. And I thought that worked really well for that type of event. I mean, it's a bit risky in parts, but I thought it was that was a good show. So I kind of thought that, you know, and I didn't know anything about the show Monster Stomp. Had, you know, purposely had steered clear of any kind of reviews, videos, or anything like that. So I kind of was a bit.
So if you avoided all that, did you? That's what was my question was going to be. Did you understand what was going on?
From not what really, you saw? No. Just about a lot of different kind of scenes that didn't really tell a story. So it's just like,
so like saying, if you see this on the screen, it says in the misty corners of Victorian era London. I definitely didn't get that. A fiend only knows Jack the Ripper, which we figured. Watch him take the stage in a way you've never seen him before in a modern day rock and themed spectacular. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get any of that.
No.
It was definitely not a modern rock. Definitely not.
When it started, I thought it was going to be kind of a musical, because it came on singing, and I thought it was going to be a bit like Sweeney Todd, but Jack the Ripper musical. But then I just went off it kind of, you know, just as I say, kind of just different kind of scenes that didn't really tell a story. And I kind of thought, you know, but I appreciate it's a totally different team, but I kind of thought there was an easy one there in terms of just doing a kind of version of kind of Fiends or some sort of comedy parody kind of show, but we'd have probably kept everybody entertained.
I would have done something what was more circus like, with circus workers, with rude comedy involved. Now I don't know where I'm nicking that idea from.
I wouldn't have a clue. Wait a second.
I think that's fantastic what you said about that. I can't tell anybody if I agree or disagree. I'm not saying anything about Monster Stomp anymore.
Yeah, you've been sworn to secrecy from now on.
I got threatened.
we mentioned, I don't know if you've listened to our review on Howl Scream, but the Scare Zones.
Mm.
What did you think?
Well, you know, the one that stood out for me was the Deadly Ambush one. And again, I mean, the really good bits about Howl Scream was the kind of level of interaction, I think. And that was really, you know, when you were kind of walking through the kind of Deadly Ambush, you did get a lot of people coming up to you and asking if you saw this or saw that, or, you know, can you help? And, you know, and that bit was kind of quite good.
They're asking, have you seen the werewolf or the zombie or something? And I never saw a werewolf or a zombie at all.
No, I didn't actually see whatever monster we were kind of referring to, but, you know, I did like the kind of, you know, they did, you know, there was that kind of interaction. I mean, I liked the bits where they were coming out of kind of, you know, the kind of bushes and the trees and stuff, and, you know, you were kind of, you know, that bit kind of worked really well in terms of using kind of what they had. But, I mean, I would have walked through every one of them, but there's not a lot that I can kind of quite remember. There's bits that I can remember people up kind of quite high and you were just walking underneath them, and it was
they kind of all blended into one. And then when you walk through one, you forgot about the other one.
I think I just think I walked through them trying to find houses. You know, I think it was a bit like, you know, let's just get through this as quick as I can, because I think maybe the house might be in the end of this.
Did the bush scare actors ever catch you?
Yeah, I mean, that was a bit that was really good. I mean, the ones that were in the bushes were really good. You know, as I say, the kind of, you know, the ones that kind of, you know, spoke to you rather than just walking past you, like, rather than kind of VHHN, kind of typical kind of walk past and then turn, you know, people that actually kind of faced up to you and tried to engage in a conversation.
They would also try and follow you as well, as in they wouldn't just turn around and get near you for 5 seconds. They could follow you for a good minute if they wanted to.
Yeah.
As long as they're in their scare zone, they would follow you all the way through if they had to try and get you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think these kind of aspects kind of worked really well, but I didn't really kind of, you know, pick up on a lot of the kind of, you know, what the kind of, you know, apart from kind of when you went into there was a sign telling you what it was, you didn't really get kind of you know, see the kind of different, you know, they didn't feel separate to me. It just felt like, you know, you're going from one to another, and, you know, very similar.
So but you mentioned before that you didn't have a SeaWorld ticket. So did you get some of the rides done? Didn't do any of them?
No.
Oh, wow, mate. No. That's amazing, because they are awesome in the dark.
Yeah. No, I kind of...
So was that a conscious decision, or was it just that you just didn't have time?
It was pretty much conscious decision. I think I just found, like, you know, the effort of trying to find these houses, by the time I'd done the last one, it was kind of gone midnight, and it was like a case of, okay, let's just, kind of exit the park and
so
get
obviously
back.
So without doing a ride, obviously my next question was going to be, did you try anything from the theme bars? I think I already know
not
the answer.
A lot. No,
so here you go.
No. I mean, it was a rainy night as well, which, I suppose, there was quite a few rainy nights.
It was the worst September for rainy nights.
So at one point, we were all kind of crowded in the stores and stuff, the shops, just trying to get a bit of shelter. So that kind of took up a bit of time as well. So my kind of focus was, I thought, well, okay, I'm probably going to come back at some point anyway, so let's not just try and, rush the rides just for the sake of ticking the boxes. The main thing is doing the houses. So
yeah,
I just kind of focused on getting all the houses done.
Well, at least you got them all done, because I'll hold my hands up, I didn't. And I went twice.
Yeah.
I had
the multi night, so I was kind of going to plan, I had planned to do another night. But then I just kind of flipped back to kind of HHN. So because I think that was my last night of HHN as well. So I was kind of, I'd rather kind of go there and have another night at HHN. So that's what I did.
As a whole, with the bits of scare zones that you saw and the houses you went through, minus the queue experience.
Yeah.
What would you give this, and would you go back? What would you give this out of 10?
I would definitely go back. I mean, I've not booked anything at all for next year in terms of hotels or flights or anything, but I would always be kind of looking to factor this in again, but I would probably just, do a night and do front of the line, because that obviously gets you onto the rides as well, kind of front of the line, once for the rides as well. But, in terms of a score, I'm probably looking at around about a 6 out of 10, to be honest.
It's the middle of the road. It's kind of good for what it is, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Siren's House was really good. So, I mean, I think, that probably for me was, that was the standout. I probably would have had that about an 8 out of 10. The rest, I think a lot of kind of potential for lots of the different bits of it. And I think the pulsing, does work if we can get the queue bit right, because I don't need to wait until somebody's finished going through the house before we send the next ones in. But I think, I think that would really...
We kept catching up. Even though with the postal through, we still caught up with the group in front, and the group behind us caught us up with it anyway.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense. When you're pulsing, if you're pulsing it for a specific scur reason, great. Mm-hmm. But when you're not getting all the scurs, the pulsing just becomes pointless.
And what's the score out of 10 for the whole event?
I would say 6 out of 10.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I think the scare actors, I think, the positive bits, what we do different from HHN, I think that's kind of the unique parts of sort of Howl Scream. And I think, I would imagine a lot of scare actors will come back year over year. So I think, wherever
I think what's going to happen, there's going to be a lot of newbies who ain't going to get Halloween Horror Nights, who are going to audition for Halloween Horror Nights, get turned down, and they're going to go and learn at Howl Scream to, craft their business a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. And also, I think a lot of the Halloween Horror Nights ones are eventually going to move over to Hallow Screams anyway, because they've got more freedom.
I think it will be interesting. I mean, I think Hallow Scream, both at Busch Gardens and SeaWorld, does feel very different. It feels very much locals. When you're kind of in the kind of queue line and stuff, it feels more like families that are local to the area. You've potentially kind of invested in a multi-night ticket.
I honestly think that obviously this year a lot of people would say the UK and Europe didn't know about Hallow Scream. If you're not big into this stuff, you're not going to know about it. It's a brand new event. It's two years old.
Yeah.
You're probably only going to see if you've gone to SeaWorld, you've maybe seen a wee bit of kind of the adverts about it. And you might be interested.
They've got to be patient. Give it a few years and it will grow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that it's obviously, it's in Orlando. It's, people go to SeaWorld, people have tickets for SeaWorld. I can only see the kind of, the people that, go to it, increasing, because, the more people kind of know about it, the more people go, they're there anyway, they're going to SeaWorld, they're potentially going to Halloween Horror Nights. They probably will, start to, let's try a night at SeaWorld. And there are quite a few people that, that I kind of was kind of speaking to and things that we're going to Howl Scream as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of here now, and it's you know, and it will continue. And I think it's early days, so you can only see it getting better.
Yeah, totally agree. Just finally go, before we do go, did you buy any merchandise from either event?
I didn't buy anything from Hello Scream. No, it wasn't a case of, you know, it was just a case of, it did, by the time I'd done the houses, I was just like, you know, leaving the park, and I did think I was maybe going to go back again. I would have got maybe one of the kind of flashing kind of skull kind of mugs or whatever, but I didn't.
You were looking at that, wasn't you, Simon?
Yeah,
but we got one. We got a little tiny one, I think you got a little skull.
I think Hilo Scream, was that the one where you had the sort of lanyard with the skull, but you had the smoke coming out as well? I think that was maybe Hilo Scream. I think I looked at that one as well, but
I know they had a cat one, which was Don't Scare Me.
Yeah.
Scurdy Cat Necklace, yeah. Which I thought Donald would have bought.
Did you ever see the tour guides, and did you laugh when you saw them with their stupid stick?
I didn't see them.
I felt so sorry for them. They looked so stupid.
Yeah, they were walking around with school mugs in the hand and people's bags.
Yeah.
Because they walked them to the front of the houses and then met them around the back.
I will always say this. If I go to an event like this and I have a bag of me, I will never ask someone who's been my tour guide to take my bag. I will refuse to let them take it if they ask. I paid them to show me around the event. I've bought the bag. I will carry the bag.
I didn't take a bag because I remember speaking to you, Simon, and you were saying you had a bit of an issue with a bag.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm not going to take anything. So if I can't kind of, you know, because I'm taking, because I could have gone to HHN that night as well. So I thought, no, I'm going here. So I don't want to kind of, you know, vent to double back. So, because I was just getting Ubers to everywhere, you know, that was the thing, you know. I suppose that's a bit of, it's different as well this time, because usually I was kind of trying to navigate and sort of the Lynx buses and the iRides and, you know, I used to kind of stay on International Drive, and I used to kind of walk over the bridge every night after HHN to get back to iDrive. But it was like this year, I was just kind of Ubering everything.
Did you ever use the Surfside
Uber
bus?
Ubering Lyft. Yeah, I mean, I use the Surfside bus all the time. Yeah,
because that's fantastic, isn't it? End of a night.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bit why we'd never kind of, you know, stay offside now. You know, just being able to kind of just, you know, when you want to go to the event, you just kind of go down, and you know, there's always a bus kind of on its way, and you get across, you know, in good time, and then at the end of the night, you know, you know that we're going to always be there to get you home. So I got quite a bit of I suppose that's the thing, you know, about the event as well, HHN, so much more merchandise this year.
Just one really quick question, which has been bugging me as well. You got your, before we get to your HHN merch, did you actually do Hello Screams at Tampa this year then?
Not this year, no, right, not this year, right, so no.
Let's get your merchandise then. What did you get from Halloween Horror Nights?
Yeah, so it was a bit of a kind of a panic kind of day. So, you know, kind of all through the holiday, I was kind of thinking, you know, that's what I want. And then I would kind of see something else. I would kind of, you know, go to Islands of Adventure. I would kind of see the merchandise that we had in the wee shop across fair. And I would see something different in there from, you know, from Universal. So I'd always kind of listen in my head, you know, saying, well, I won't get that, I'll get this, I won't get that. And because, as I say, the last few days I was going to concentrate on Universal and HHN kind of merchandise and Universal merchandise, I kind of had left it until that point to actually do the buying. But then obviously Hurricane Ian, so it was at Disney on the, I went to Disney that morning, I think it was a Tuesday, and the Lyft driver spent the whole journey saying, you know, you need to watch, you don't get stranded. I wouldn't be staying at Disney too long, because at some point, you know, you're going to find it difficult getting a lift back to International Drive. So I had a half a day at Disney, and then, you know, bought what I needed to buy at Disney in terms of merchandise. Got a lift back to the hotel, dropped off my Disney stuff, went downstairs, got the bus across to from Surfside to Universal, and I had it in my head I might not get back to the park, so basically just blitzed all the merchandise that kind of afternoon. So I got kind of a flannel shirt that I kind of had my eye on. I got one of the kind of, you know, the signs, you know, the every day is Halloween kind of sign. I got the Halloween mug. You know, you were kind of finding you had to kind of, you know, decide which ones you got, you know, because there were so much different kind of merchandise.
That was one thing I would say about Halloween Horror Nights this year. There was and a little bit too much merchandise. And a lot of people saying it was great having all this merchandise, but when you're on a budget, which a lot of people are when they come from the UK, you've got to pick and choose what you get. So I didn't, like I said, I didn't buy much. I think the only thing I bought from Halloween Horror Nights is it. I think that's the only thing I've got Halloween Horror Nights, and I've got a souvenir cup.
Usually I get lanyards and everything. This year I only got a t-shirt.
You only have so much luggage space as well. I mean, I got quite a bit. You got an extra one going back, didn't you? Because was you premium or something going back?
Upper class.
Well,
64 kilos each, plus 10 kilo hand luggage. I couldn't even carry it. If I wanted to, I was like, you're talking 150 kilos of stuff. There was no way I could carry all that anyway.
I got quite a bit of the ET 40th kind of merchandise as well. So I had quite a bit of, you know, t-shirts and mugs and, you know, the glasses and stuff as well, you know, the tumblers. So I had quite a bit of ET stuff as well. So,
glad you enjoyed your merchandise.
So, I did.
Before we go, are you planning to go back next year?
Yes.
Has Chucky got you excited?
Well, I think we kind of had the sort of messaging back and forth. So, I mean, Chucky is good, but it's not my kind of ultimate.
Have you watched series?
I've not seen any of the series.
I think if you watch the series, you'll get a lot more excited for Chucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the films, obviously, you know, never seen the series.
So I've been looking. It looks like the house is not going to be set on the films. It looks like it's just going to
be set
on the series.
No, I've already said it. It's 100% it's going to be set on the series. Even the promo video was the guy who did the voice.
About sci-fi channel as well, I think. You know, watch the series on the sci-fi channel kind of thing.
I'm on season two now, and I'm actually enjoying season two differently from season one. And I'm excited I'm trying not to spoil it for everyone, but there's going to be so many different variants of Chucky in this house. Right, so we're going to end it here. Craig, do you have any social medias you'd like to share to anybody that would like to follow you, or you're not worried?
I'm not worried. Not worried. Yeah.
Okay, guys. And Simon, where can people find us?
They can find us on Epic Haunts on all podcast apps. There will be a link in the description with Linktree by the time this one comes out. You can find us on YouTube, Epic Haunts. If you're watching us on this, smash that thumbs up button. Hit that subscribe as well. Do us a favour. And yeah, we have everything. Yeah. We've got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Yeah. All links down below.
TikTok. We've even got is it Mastodon now? We're on there as well now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you official on TikTok? On Twitter, or is it one of these? Did you pay eight dollars? No, we're not paying
for a blue tick.
Look, I'm going to sum this up. Anybody who's out there who's got a podcast who needs a blue tick, you're a narcissist.
Can I ask one question?
And there's the real Phil. Can I ask a question?
Where can you buy the merchandise, Phil?
If anybody wants the merchandise, I can...
Private message, Phil.
Yeah, message us on Epic Haunts on TikTok. Not TikTok. Twitter, that's the other one.
Twitter and Instagram.
If anybody wants DMs to message us, messages on there. And if you seriously want it, we can sort something out.
Because what Phil's actually wearing, Craig, is a bit of a prototype. He just made it himself. He didn't even tell me about it. He's even got a T-shirt, never told me. He thought I'd just try it. So we'll see. If there's enough demand, I think we could do a limited edition.
Just for people out there, I am thinking with a T-shirt. The baseball cap is fine with the proper sign. I think a T-shirt would be better like this, just with the writing. I think it uses up too much space. But just with the writing, Epic Haunts, whatever podcast, something like that, that's all it needs.
Right, we'll see what we do with the merchandise. I don't think we warrant having merchandise yet, but if the demand is there, we shall sort it out for our wonderful fans, if there is any.
If anybody wants it, seriously, if anybody wants something about it, just get in touch with me. I'll try and sort something out. We're just not officially selling it. I'd have to get it personally made for us. Right, so that is all our socials and everything done. That's pretty much. Thank you, Craig, for being an absolute wonderful guest. I'd love to have you on. If you are going next year, to have you on before the event and after the event next year to get your feedback.
So it might be a good idea for next year, because obviously I won't be going next year.
Can I just say, we're saying next year, but the time this episode comes out, it's actually this year.
But I might not be going. So I think we might be having a nice, might be worth having a good round table with people who are actually going. five or six people. Just have a quick.
Yeah, Craig, chat. By the way, you say you're going, so you're allowed to go. Anybody who has said to me, and this means you, Gaz, who says they're not going, don't dare show up because I will be at the airport not letting you in. You are not allowed. Only us people who are faithful and still going.
I'm going in November. I haven't got the holidays next year in September, October, so I can't go anyway.
Cry me a river. Yeah.
New job.
Same old job. Right. Anyway, everyone, thank you for listening and watching. And when we're back, we should be talking about on the next episode all the UK haunts.
Possibly.
Yes. Hopefully, if Simon remembers it all by then. Yeah. For me, be epic. And from Simon,
stay spooky, guys.